This is Bathrobes Piers Broadsides, December 25th, 1995, the Christmas edition.
Thank you. Get on the bus, Paul. So the head of the program is announcing the bus is leaving. They've got a Metropolitan Transit bus to bus everybody the hell out of town. That's what's cooking here. And the media is watching, of course, and probably not reporting the facts as usual.
We had drummers, music, signs, and we just walked.
I gotta say something.
It's December 18th, it's 5 to 3. We're at a Huff meeting. We got Oz, Billy, Shaw, Dan, John, Leslie, Skyway, Crow. We missed most of it. We had a confrontation with Kennedy, but unfortunately it isn't on tape because I had the pause button on. Oh, I hate myself so much.
I want to say something. Yeah. As far as this demonstration we're talking about, is that we got to remember, even though we don't have numbers, Pacific Mall is only about 3 blocks long, man. So a few numbers is a lot. It's a masses as far as people are concerned here.
That's true.
They have civil contempt cases against them, and then
for serving free food.
For serving free food, and also for the people who are being harassed at People's Park, or the proposal to drive people from People's Park and make it into a sports facility, and that's in Berkeley. And then also because of your impending
jail sentence
of 60 days. And the newest thing that is happening is the health department has started harassing the people at Sacramento Food Not Bombs. And in particular, actually, it's this new group of sort of self-appointed police that wear these little yellow costumes, and they go around and harass people. And they said that Food Not Bombs was hurting the shopping business in downtown Sacramento by sharing food in front of the
Now, isn't that a familiar lament?
Yes.
Similar concern here in Santa Cruz. There's a Food Not Bombs actually serves on the mall once a week. Now there's a group called Feed the People, which serves 3 other days a week.
Uh-huh.
So the apparently the plan to feed poor people out in public downtown is catching. Kind of a disease that is spreading throughout the nation, at least throughout Santa Cruz.
Right, and well, that's the issue. Just yesterday, I was listening to an interview where Santa Cruz activist Kim Margula was interviewing the mayor of Arcata. And his comments were the same as all other mayors who are confronted with the issue of the stupidity of harassing people for sharing free food in downtown. And it really comes right down to it that they don't like the visible protest of Food Not Bombs, and they want it moved out of sight and out of mind, and they're very angry that Food Not Bombs won't just move out of sight and out of mind. And they just can't understand why Arcata Food Not Bombs is so uncooperative and won't work with them.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have a similar problem down here in that actually we beat them back, I think, through the kind of activism that you and I and I guess Jane Immler and Linda Edwards and many others here in town did when we fed people at the town clock and in front of City Hall in 1988-1989, day after day, week after week, until finally, in spite of the arrests, in spite of the court orders, in spite of the trials, and there were many of them, in spite of going to jail, they realized that they weren't going to turn us back, and they stopped arresting us, and they set up the free meal here in Santa Cruz. And but our current mayor, Mayor Mike Rotkin, who will be, by the way, a guest on my show next week at this time, next Friday, December 22nd. He's going to be on the air in the studio answering questions. I'm going to be making things hot for him, no question about it. And he was one of the people, I understand, and I have no complete confirmation on this, but he's never denied it, who voted to, in secret, for another injunction against Food Not Bombs in 1993, I believe it was, in the spring. Now, that injunction was initially applied for, and it was granted. It was legally defective in some small way, and the city realized it might not be such a hot idea to start a conflict again with food servers in Santa Cruz, so they abandoned it. But Rotkin continues to be this kind of high-profile
devil's advocate, I guess you might call it, in that, for example, he favors, he's talking about the problems of street people downtown. He favored the anti-homeless, anti-panhandling law that makes it illegal to peacefully ask for spare change after dark.
Right.
It's currently on the law books here in Santa Cruz, even though I'm not too clear that it's being enforced much. Still is a tool to frighten, harass, and intimidate people by police and their buddies in green, the hosts, as we call them. I guess that's the Santa Cruz version of the Sacramento guides, or whatever they are, the Berkeley
right.
guides.
Yeah, they got, that's what they're called. Like in Philadelphia, they got the same thing, the guides.
The guides, the hosts, the hoo-has, whatever. Anyway, Mayor Mike Rodkin is... recently issued a statement that he was declaring, along with Scott Kennedy and the heads of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, our only legal place for people to sleep in Santa Cruz, the open-air shelter, the Coral Street open-air shelter, a campground area in essence, closed because he said it was for their own good that it would be closed. They're using the health hazard pretext here in Santa Cruz to close it down. So I'm anticipating more problems from the Rodkin regime. But I'm hoping that, you know, I'm glad that he has the forthrightness and the courage to go on the air.
Well, he was on the air, and now I'm on the air, and in fact, you can be on the air on Bathrobe's Piers Broadsides, the Christmas edition, December 25th, 1995. We're going to be coming at you for the next 2 hours at least. I'm not sure how many people are going to make it into the studio today, day being Christmas and all. But we're going to kind of do a post-mortem on the Rodkin interview, which we had last Friday. We're not going to do as intensive a post-mortem as we might, because what I want to do is actually play over selected portions of that interview so we can actually focus on what he said, what he didn't say, as well as the interesting point of how to, well, how futile it is to try to talk straight and rationally to a person who already has her or his rap down and is a politician in a position of power attempting to spread a fog of disinformation and avoid the pungent points. Well, let's put it this way. What I'd like to see come out of this whole episode, since we didn't really get any new information but simply talked for 2 hours, is new information for us on how to deal with politicians who are doing what Rodkin is doing, which is covering their tracks, blowing smoke, and generally ignoring the fundamental issues that we're trying to raise. We have to find better ways to raise them. We have to find sharper ways to raise them. And perhaps this is an object lesson on how to do that. We're going to be doing that in a future show when we actually have the Rodkin tape well edited and well, ready to be discussed in clearer terms. But of course, today on 96.3 FM, which is the station you're listening to, Free Radio Santa Cruz, you can call in and talk about the Rodkin interview. You can call in and talk about any issue you want concerning civil rights for the poor, concerning civil rights for the homeless, concerning what's been happening to you as a poor or homeless person that you think is pertinent or relevant that the rest of the community should know about, that bears on all of us. Since today is Christmas, though I'm not much of a Christmas man myself, I'm going to be playing you tapes of what's going on out at the Brighton State Beach campground, the area to which the Save Our Shelter, Coral Open Air Street Shelter folks were deported and are now living out their last week there. They have one more week, after which on January 1st, they will be told to hit the road and deal with life as best they can in the bushes, under the bridges, illegally in Santa Cruz. We tried to get a straight answer from Mike on whether it's what his concern is about illegal people in Santa Cruz, and what he seemed to say was there ain't none, or if there are, anybody who wants can get in the armory. And he kind of agreed that if everybody applied at once that people couldn't get in, but his point was that, well, they're not all applying at once and there are still some spaces left and therefore the obligation of the city is met. Not true, of course. Some people cannot apply because of all kinds of circumstances, couples, pets, fear of being indoors, fear of illness in the armory, problems with the staff at the armory or the staff of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program that runs the armory, Winter Armory Shelter Pickup.
plus the fact that they know there's just not enough space for everyone. And it is. There's 150 spaces in the armory in the North County, and conceivably there's more, and there is also more in the South, which, pardonnez-moi, Paul, as I call Paul Merceau, the head of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, and the head of the Armory Program, and the guy who closed the open-air shelter program on behalf of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. You've got to smile when you say those words on Christmas. Have a good turkey dinner, guys. He claims, and no reason to dispute him on this one, although he broke his word most recently to the campers, I think it's probably accurate that there are spaces in the Watsonville Armory at night. But we're talking about long pickup times, getting down there. We're talking about essentially still a situation where the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz, Ordinance 6.36, Municipal Code Ordinance, which could be suspended, reversed, or reformed at any time by our great progressive city council, makes it criminal for people to be outside, sleeping, after 11 o'clock at night, even on private property with the permission of the owner, with the exception of a backyard or fenced-in side yard. An exception, incidentally, which could be used to maintain the open-air shelter without a permit, legally, on the property it's on. It is behind the residence, which is, in this case, the residence is the River Street Shelter, although the property, in a sense, has been divided. There's conceivably could be regarded as being behind a residence. Nobody's telling them to close that Coral Street open-air shelter, which served up to 200, 250 people this fall, except the property owners who want out from under, want to prepare for their community house Trailers Not Trolls project, which is coming down the pike for a hearing. I believe it's January 25th or 26th, as well as before the city council at the first city council meeting in January, which should be, I guess, if I have a calendar, it's the second Tuesday in January at 3:30 p.m. at City Hall. So those are two dates you might want to look at that are coming up. There's also another date that you might be interested in noting, which is the meeting of the executive board, the board of directors, of the Citizens Committee to Relocate the Homeless. And they call themselves just simply, for short, CCH, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. And they are meeting at 4 o'clock, if they continue their regular schedule, the fourth Thursday of every month, which will be, today's the 25th, 26th, 27th, the 28th. That'll be December 28th, 4 o'clock, at Garfield Park Church. Garfield Park Church. And that's right up there at Arrett Circle. I know that right. It's Garfield Park. It's either Garfield Park or Grant Street. I guess it's Garfield Park. I'm pretty sure it's on an Arrett Circle, 4 o'clock, Citizens Committee for the Homeless. That's in 3 days. And if you're interested in showing up for a protest at this meeting or simply attending to express your views to the Citizens Committee for the Homeless for their great Christmas season work in declaring illegal the only open-air shelter in Santa Cruz and perhaps in the country at the moment, the only one that was open, in lying to the campers and breaking their word so they did not carry through their program to actually about January 10th or whenever the permits were granted 10 days after that, actually puts them into February, unless the weather was inclement to the extent that the area was completely flooded and required renegotiation, at which point they would renegotiate, and they didn't renegotiate. They simply evicted without any kind of negotiations in violation of their sworn word to people whose shelter depended on what they did. And then Mayor Mike Rotkin moved in with a huge PR scam to dump everybody in Brighton Beach for 2 weeks of relatively comfortable camping, where actually they were showcased and are showcased up there as deserving poor, as poor people with pets who require a special Christmas break. Everybody deserves a special Christmas break. The homeless deserve a break all the time, at least in terms of not being criminalized for sleeping. I mean, you may not want to spend taxpayer money supporting homeless people. A lot of us think that's a wise use of funds anyway. But if you don't, do you want to spend taxpayer funds arresting homeless people for simply falling asleep at night after 11 o'clock? And obviously Mayor Rotkin does. He thinks that's an appropriate use, although he will claim that that isn't spent except on complaint. At least that's what his cohort in crime, Squawk Box Scott Kennedy, claims. We have a call coming in. Let's see what's happening.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yes, you're talking about the homeless?
Yes, sir.
Well,
it better be a serious call or we're hanging up on you, big guy.
Well, I am serious.
Good.
Even though I'm doing this voice, why do you always do that to me?
Because it's a serious show, Al, and I'm kind of interested in serious discussion.
Well, what the fuck is serious got to do with levity?
That's exactly so.
Yeah. Is it you?
No.
Is it Rob?
No, it's you, Al.
No, is it Robert?
Yes, it is.
You sound different.
Uh-huh.
Did you lose, like,
I'm not into anecdotes at the moment, Al. Is that the point you want to make?
Well, the point I want to make
is
that homeless is an aberration.
Uh-huh.
The thing is that people aren't homeless, they're homeless, which means that they don't have the spirit inside their head, which God gave them. And I'm not saying you got to pray to anybody, but if you're one with yourself, then fuck it.
Maybe
just get it on.
Maybe you're talking about the city council.
What? The city council?
Yeah,
city council.
I would say they're homeless, they lack some homes.
Well, they're scumbags. That's what they are.
That's for sure.
I've told them to their faces. That's why I'm locked out of every whatever they're involved in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I could give a shit less. And what about the resource for nonviolent and not thinking? What about those guys?
I'm talking about Kennedy's Resource Center for Nonviolent.
Yeah, that they support. They don't even really support people over. Overseas, I should say, on the other side, like Latin Americans. They just use them because they're fucking users. And I hope they hear me, and I hope they approach me on this, because I tell them, well, they didn't want to hear me anyway. They wouldn't give me time to speak anyway, even if I went up there. They don't even allow me in that place.
They don't?
No. I've been locked out of there. But that's good.
That wasn't for bad jokes, was it, Al?
Huh?
That wasn't for bad jokes, I hope.
No, it was jokes. I can't joke with you. Can't joke with them. There's no joking with them
at all.
That's
true. It's
fanatical.
They have a somewhat sour sense, some of them anyway.
Oh, they're fanatical. And I'm not saying it's absolute, all of them, but the ones that seem to pull the weight.
Yeah, well, Doug
like
Rand.
Like that Doug something buddy.
Doug Rand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Doug Rand. Yeah. Well, just think of his name, Doug Rand. Say it fast, Doug Rand. It sounds like get underground.
You better say it fast, big guy, because I'm about to go on to the next thing here.
Oh, what are you going on to?
Well, you'll be able to hear it. It'll be a surprise until you hear it.
Oh, well, listen, I have to ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Is there on the table? Look on the table there, by you. I mean, on
what
the console, right to the right of the console, to the very right. Is there a packet? A little packet there?
I can't tell, but if you call me again later off the air, I'll check.
Oh, we're on the air?
You got it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Talk to you later.
Oh, okay, bye.
So, you are in fact on the air when you call here, generally speaking, although occasionally you can get reach me off the air if you need to. One good way to reach me off the air is to call my HUF number, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. That's at 423-HUF. And if you have something you want to say, let's say for the next show, or you want to leave me a message when the show is not on, or you have something you want to say off the air and you for some reason can't get through to this number here in the studio, which is 427-3772, you can give a call to 423-HUF, 423-4833, and catch me that way. So, what we got today is sort of, as I said, a post-mortem, a kind of a look back at the Rotkin Hour, and we're going to kind of fill in some details and do a little Christmas, it's not quite frills and frolics and, you know, little bits of gratitude, but we are going to focus on some of the community response to the Brighton State Beach campers from Santa Cruz who were bussed up there. They call themselves now the River Street Refugees. That was part of their press release. You're going to hear their press release from a few days before Christmas. Again, keep in mind, every moment as we speak, that they're going to be evicted on the 1st of January, and also be aware that, to some extent, this is a blind. That is to say, this is a diversion. This is a group of people who are indeed the core of the campground, but they're only a part of that group of people that used the open-air shelter, the Coral Street shelter. There are others in that group who are now hiding illegally under bridges, going unwillingly, and some of them willingly, into the Armory Winter Shelter Program. And again, people with much less options during the day. They have no place to keep their stuff other than a bay that has been opened by the the city council and the homeless community resource center, they have no place really to be in terms of sufficient area that they had before. Instead, they face a locked fence out there at Highway 1 and Highway 9 because the Citizens Committee's bureaucratic priorities of community house are paramount in the Citizens Committee's mind. You can show up at a Garfield Park Church at 4 o'clock on Thursday, this coming Thursday, December 28th, if you want to challenge or discuss that, and I encourage you to do that. In fact, Huff may well be planning a demonstration for that particular meeting. If you're interested in joining such a demonstration, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's, again, December 28th at 4, when the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, as they so bizarrely title themselves, will be meeting in Board of Directors session to review the ruin and damage they have caused, or possibly to ignore the ruin and damage they have caused, and to pave the way and pave the back 40 property for the Community House Trailers Not Trolls project. I want to thank whoever put the Rotkin interview on the internet. I hear that that was done by somebody. My computer has been out and my car is dead, so I'm really dragging along here and actually moving forward only with the support of loyal and valuable friends. I want to thank Peppercorn Penny, who got me to the studio this morning and got me up from Monterey last night. I thank you very much. Otherwise, you'd be listening to Christmas music or whatever would be showing up instead of me in this time slot. I need a mechanic. I need access to a vehicle. I'm floundering away there. So, hey, send in your cards, letters, and $1,000 bills to 423-HUFF. If you have any ideas, give me a call. My computer should be out of the shop tomorrow, so I'll be able to return to the business of writing flyers, which is what I've been doing, and getting in touch with people, which is what I'd like to see for the Thursday Citizens Committee for the Homeless Board meeting. Santa Cruz Sentinel had an editorial yesterday. They didn't print a paper today, because they don't print papers on holidays. And that editorial was kind of a miniature picture of what is really going on in terms of how the media is treating the issue of campers and homeless people in Santa Cruz. And the editorial is on page A8 in yesterday's Sunday Sentinel. Both sides in homeless camping dispute need to listen. And fundamentally, they're just talking about the bickering between RoboCop, or do we call him Motormouth Mike Rotkin, the mayor, Mayor Rotkin, a name well-deserved if you listen to the Friday show when he was on the air, and then this right-wing hypocrite supervisor, Simons, who is talking about how he's concerned about these campers and why isn't Santa Cruz handling its own problems and so forth. The publicity has actually been helpful for the 40-odd people who are out there, because people are bringing out donations of wood and food and clothing and tents. And there's even, I think, one man last night, Stanley, told me he may be getting a guitar. I mean, the generosity of the Santa Cruz, Capitola, Aptos community, the people, as distinguished from the politicians and the bigots, is really coming out. As distinguished from the merchant community, the ordinary people are coming down there to help this community. And there is, there's always a standard fear of the stranger, particularly in our in these kind of difficult economic times when everybody's pressed and people are particularly sensitive of despair changers on the street. They feel harassed, they feel alienated, and it's much easier to kick the woman or man who's lower than you than to, try to organize to change and dump the folks that are up above you, that are really creating the economic conditions or making them worse. So what the Sentinel newspaper here is doing, it's our county, Santa Cruz County Sentinel, is there's not a word about the Citizens Committee's breaking its permission, breaking its word to the campers. There's not a word about essentially the city council selling out the campers and just rubber stamping the Citizens Committee and its deportation effort. There's not a word in Rotkin's about Rotkin's drive him out of town number to be being a kind of a, actually I don't want to say drive him out of town, he bust him out of town. I mean, he kept saying that he kept claiming that we were characterizing his anti-homeless ordinances as drive him out of town ordinances. We had on the air, you may remember, on Friday, a woman who'd done her master's thesis on the response to homelessness in Santa Cruz. And she kept saying, no, I'm not saying that you're driving the homeless out of town. You're simply establishing social control that targets homeless people. And Rotkin kept mischaracterizing, he kept repeating that she was saying drive them out of town, even though she kept saying, no, I'm not saying that. But in terms of this particular group, he bussed them out of town. There is no question about it. Now, he bussed them out of town with their permission, but their option was jail and the death of their pets. So that wasn't much of an option. And that's not mentioned here in this whole editorial. All that's mentioned is, what is it? Accusations are bouncing back and forth between Santa Cruz and Mid-County over the city's arrangement to send out a group of homeless campers to a campground at New Brighton State Beach. Neither side looks very good in this dispute. The city helped arrange and pay for the transfer to New Brighton, complete with bus passes for the homeless folks. They did so without even so much as a phone call to anyone in the Capitola or Aptos area. The Santa Cruz City Council, of course, is well known for its demand that no one do anything within its own city limits without having in hand at least 5 permits to make sure there's no environmental or neighborhood impact. Well, hey, the homeless shelter operated without a permit for a year and a half and could have continued to operate had Rotkin had an ounce of compassion and good sense around this issue instead of just running like the devil away from what he considered to be a touchy issue, which is what the city council has done around the sleeping ban for a long time. Of course, council members never worry about their impact on anyone else, so they didn't bother to inform anyone in the city of Capitola, the editorial continues, or the county government what they planned to do. The fight was on. Merchants in Capitola, as well as mid-county government officials, were furious. Santa Cruz was dumping its homeless problem on them. Homeless people belong in Santa Cruz, one merchant said, not here in Capitola. And the editorial goes on at some length. And the paper says, the city has accommodated people with problems by going it alone and providing services of them by all rights should be handled by other jurisdictions as well. On the one hand, doing so has been charitable. On the other, by not working with other levels of government, the city casts itself as a kind of lone ranger. So the whole issue of criminalizing homeless people after dark, the whole issue of breaking your word to homeless people and the city supporting that, the whole issue of the city implicitly welching on a deal that was made with city council members being present and in acquiescence, with the apparent exception, although it's not clear, of Scott Kennedy, these issues don't come up. They're the issues we've been trying to get before the press, and unfortunately, in today's Chronicle, which has another article on the campers, there is not a word about that. Not a word about what's going to happen on January 1st to these people. Except, of course, that it has been put into the media as a kind of a is it going to be Capitola or Scott Santa Cruz that's going to have the hot potato? You know, it's true, has been given a little publicity. But the sad thing is that the community, and that includes us activists, that includes the campers out there, have been kind of somehow trying to ride the wave of that publicity and not engage in continued activist consciousness-raising stuff downtown. It is really required to put the city on the hot seat and make them deal with the issue. They will not deal with this issue. They're not going to deal with this issue. These people are going to be forced to deal with things on their own on January 1st, as the 150 other people who were with them have essentially been ignored, dumped, and criminalized if they don't use whatever existing facilities happen to be around, however inadequate, however limited, however inappropriate. You know, the 800 to 1,500 homeless people in Santa Cruz city area can't squeeze into the armory. They can't squeeze into the churches. They can't squeeze into the minor exception to the camping ban that was passed last summer, whereby you can sleep in your van in a church parking lot if there are no more than 3 vehicles there, if the church participates, if you're a member of the ISSP program. There's not enough room. And there's not enough room by a long shot. And that being the case, everybody else is illegal. And that is a criminalization of a status which is innocent. And that is a way of setting people up for troll busting, setting people up for hatred and fear, and setting people up for massive kinds of discomforts and discrimination that the city has no right to do, and is doing. Now, Rotkin has pointed out that this is done by other cities, but is that an excuse for him to do it in his city? Is that an excuse for us to do it? Obviously not. Well, so What are we faced with here? The biggest concession that Mike Rodkin made on Friday in the show on the air that he did with me was that he would provide, or the city would somehow provide, bus passes for people to come in January 1st, the day that they're being evicted from the campground, the day their campground tenure runs out. How big of him? He's going to allow people to return, presumably without their dogs, because you can't bring dogs on the buses generally, although there's been sort of a loosening of the rules for some drivers over the holidays, and that's nice, you know, but I don't see that happening, you know, with any kind of assurance. You don't have human rights when your human rights are dependent upon the compassion and pity and goodwill of bureaucrats. When the friends of these bureaucrats can break their solemn agreements at will and dump people off property where they've been promised a tenancy to stay, that's not human rights. You know, that's crusts of bread at the poorhouse door. That's what that is. Boy, the ants are everywhere in the studio today. Campers had a meeting out at the campground. The River Street refugees did, and talked about their future. And they're really quite candidly trying to look after themselves. They don't see themselves as some sort of vanguard homeless group in the sense that they're going to proclaim the rights of the homeless downtown. I wish they did, but they don't. And you know, I can't expect them to. We can't reasonably expect them to. The job of securing rights for people is really all of our job, particularly the job of people who have more resources, people who are in houses, people who have the time, relatively speaking, don't have to spend their time waiting in line for food or trekking from one service to another. People in that situation have less time to organize than even we do, those of us who have regular jobs. And it's our job to support the rights of poor people and the rights of homeless people. It's our job to make sure our community does not get Gingriched, does not get Jordan, does not get Rotkined. It's important that we take a stand there and we act. So, hopefully this kind of a show is going to update you and let you know what's going on. As I said before, we have... You were listening, by the way, at the beginning of the show to the Keith McHenry interview from... I guess it was December 15th, about 10 days ago. And Keith McHenry is a Food Not Bombs activist from San Francisco who many of our listeners know is a kind of a high-profile guy who has been working at this, giving away food, having homeless people feeding themselves for the last 8 years. He shows up at all kinds of peace and justice-type concerns with free food. And the city of San Francisco hates him to death. At least, let's put it this way, the bureaucrats and the politicians hate that. And they've arrested over 1,000 people. They've convicted one. That's me. I'm still facing a sentence of 2 months in jail, which I received in 1994. And I've got no word yet from the court on what exactly is cooking with that. And hopefully will soon. But until that time, I have got my little baggie packed, ready to go up to the big house for serving bagels and rice. But we've got... Keith McHenry here. I'm going to play a little bit of him for you today. Kind of give me a chance to shuffle and ruffle my papers here and get together. This again, Keith McHenry, an update on the San Francisco Food Not Bomb situation in a phone interview of December 15th.
And certainly expose himself to the slings and arrows of his critics, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that sounds like they're pretty interesting.
Now you've had a change of regime yourself. I guess the Jordan regime has ended and the Brown regime has begun, or soon will, in January.
Yeah.
What does that mean up there in San Francisco?
Well, with having Helen in as DA is the most positive thing, and should mean that we don't end up with any kind of, prosecution, ultimately, for sharing free food. And I think that is pretty hopeful. And I think there's a chance that my probation will be definitely not challenged, and I'll be able to get rid of it on the...
So you in fact were put on probation a year ago on two felony counts that essentially stemmed from free speech activities such as distributing flyers in people's offices and engaging in Food Not Bombs activity around City Hall.
Right.
And you were threatened with felony trials and felony counts for assault and all kinds of charges that in essence were concocted, to say the least.
and you then took a kind of a relatively mild probation for the year in which you did not agree not to serve food, continue to serve food, continue to distribute literature, and have not, in fact, been harassed by the police since that time.
Right. It's been pretty... I've been jailed, but not... I've been jailed a couple of times for handing out flyers and stuff like that, but I haven't...
No new charges have been filed, and they haven't attempted to revoke your probation.
Yeah, right. That's what's really positive about that is that I'm not... It doesn't look like I'm going to ever be harassed by...
What about the other Food Not Bombs members? Are they still serving? Are you still serving like every day in front of Farmers Market down there at the UN Plaza?
We serve every night at 6 o'clock down there, 6:30, and Mondays at Golden Gate Park.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still 7 days a week, which is good. I certainly would encourage more literature tables and more political organizing, but. The local chapter here has been real active in the Ward Valley struggle out in Needles, California, where the governor of California is encouraging a toxic waste dump to be sponsored by U.S. Ecology, which is a famous company that's been involved in all kinds of scandalous poisoning of the earth. And, they've been doing a lot of that, which is fortunate. And... But I think here in San Francisco, there's certainly the possibility that the new mayor, Willie Brown, will start harassing homeless people. He is, in fact, a liberal Democrat, so that's usually not a good sign. And I don't think because of his contacts with Supervisor Sue Bierman and other Food Not Bombs supporters, that he will order the arrest of Food Not Bombs. I think there might be some fluke police trying to draw Willie Brown into a crisis, such as happened with Art Agnos.
But he was the mayor right before Frank Jordan.
Right. My sense is that Sue Bierman was figured very prominently in Willie Brown's campaign. And she has come to me in the past. She was a Haight-Ashbury activist in the 50s and was most famous for stopping the freeway from being elevated through San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular going down the Panhandle and over to Golden Gate Park, which was the original plans. And she's come to me and said, well, that Art Agnos lost the election because he attacked Food Not Bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows that that is just definitely something that shouldn't happen. And in fact, a lot of politicians are saying that attacking Food Not Bombs is political suicide. And we've heard that from the city council in Berkeley when it came to the issue of trying to drive Food Not Bombs from People's Park. They said they just couldn't succeed against Food Not Bombs. And the mayor of Arcata admitted on tape that he knew it was going to be a big fight because Food Not Bombs had such a reputation of successfully resisting government attacks. So you do hear that. I've heard that also from the mayor of Salt Lake City, and the police department in San Jose, California, indicated that they wouldn't harass Food Not Bombs because they knew what kind of problems San Francisco had. So that, I think, is the one positive aspect of the arrest of San Francisco Food Not Bombs is that we have curbed the desires of many politicians to go after other Food Not Bombs chapters.
No. What about the Matrix? Is the Matrix likely to stop under Brown? Will Brown rein it in?
No, I don't think that his interests do not lie in that.
Matrix program, of course, for those who don't know, is the anti-poor program begun under, well, certainly intensified under Mayor Jordan and given the name, the Matrix program under Mayor Jordan, to remove homeless people from the downtown parks, downtown areas. It was expanded in 1995 to include Golden Gate Park and I guess even the other neighborhoods.
Yeah, my suspicion is that that will not be the that he will not stop the attacks against the homeless. I think one interesting thing will be to see who he chooses for, Willie Brown chooses for chief of police, which is sort of a symbolic comment on his proposed police policies. But in the past, he is associated with such organizations as, with many of the people that the his legal clients would be people who were in support of the Matrix program, and it would be interesting to see.
What about organizations that are pro-homeless, like the Coalition on Homelessness and the Religious Witness for the Homeless and so forth? Are they likely to grow stronger in, under the Brown administration?
Oh, I think that it won't make any. I don't think that they'll have more influence in city government under Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think they'll continue to flourish. Probably, my sense is that there'll be more homeless people, and that the homeless, so-called homeless crisis, will continue to grow and grow and grow, and that people. And the cops will continue to harass and steal stuff from people, and that the public will say that we're opposed to these human rights violations, and he'll have some kind words about that, but the human rights violations will continue. And I think that is where the struggle is going to be very, very interesting, is will Willie Brown, when push comes to shove, attack groups like Food Not Bombs because they're interfering with his policies to drive the homeless from the city. And you know that the Chronicle Examiner, KRON TV Channel 5, and or KRON TV Channel 4, and KPIX Channel 5, and so on, will be cheerleading attacks against the homeless and trying to put Brown in a position where he has to go after the homeless or seem to be, you know, like a communist or whatever it is that they'll be saying that he is. And he'll enter into that fight. Now, how he handles that will be really interesting. And my suspicion, because of his close ties with business and his comments that he has made about, like, he supposedly was indicating that he was going to give jobs to homeless people to wash the buses. But the way in the debate that he said it, it sounded like that this is going to be slavery for homeless people, that they'll force them to wash the buses. And so just a very insensitive way of talking about the homeless crisis. And again, I think that helped him get votes from more moderate people. But
What about foreign affairs? The sending of U.S. troops to Bosnia, the world economy, what impact is that going to have on the rights of homeless people and the condition of homeless people in the San Francisco Bay Area and here up and down the coast in California?
Well, this Bosnia thing, I think that really where you can start to see that general repression against the population is going to increase. Bosnia certainly will be one good excuse for that. But I think more importantly is the whole phony trip going on around terrorism and the impending anti-terrorism law. So I think that could be a problem. And I think that this, I think that the global austerity program, which Clinton and Gingrich are forcing down our throats, will be really where the fight comes in, where the federal government feels that they have to stop dissent, they have to shut down strikes and any kind of thing from happening in the, to resist the cutting of health care and welfare. And
speaking of strikes, France has been experiencing tumultuous disruptions in the last 2 weeks. What's your take on what's going on over there?
Well, as of today, it looks like some of the large unions have caved in and have and that the strike is going to be broken. Now, what happens? Unfortunately, this is a problem with labor organizing throughout the world right now, is that the labor unions are reading things sort of the way the Democrats are, that they're not that powerful. And therefore, they're giving in too early. And I think that a huge number of French citizens were willing to go the extra mile towards social, you know, really fundamental social change. And as happened in 68, the big unions called their workers back to work and break any inevitable dramatic change in social policy. So I think they've curbed some of the austerity program there by the threat of this, by the success of this strike. But I think that there was certainly further to go, and that to stay at status quo wasn't really the why people were risking so much. And that's actually what has happened, I think, is that in fact, I think it's even worse than status quo. I think basically what happened was that some of the transportation unions got their demands met, and meanwhile, students and other poor people didn't. Now, that may not have an... it may be that even though the transportation union is going back to work, may not fundamentally spell the end of this struggle in the short term, and that actually students and others who still have grievances may continue militant protests, and it may be that this union has to join the people. Now, that's like the most optimistic scenario, but in 1968, that was not what happened, and when the transportation unions went back to work, the revolution basically was
squashed.
Was squashed, yeah. So